you. Please be seated. It's good to see Jeff with us here tonight. Yes, we were praying for Jeff and Tammy as they were in a very serious car accident a couple of weeks ago, and we're glad that they were brought safely through. And one of those providential things of the Lord, you just never know what a day will bring. And so we're glad the Lord has spared you. Good to see you in the service tonight. You're very welcome here. Ask you please now tonight to turn to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation 3, we're reading from verse 19. As many as I love, Jesus writes, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. I invite you, please, just to bow for a word of prayer. Lord, we have the word open before us now tonight, and once more we stand in need of the help of the Holy Spirit to take away the scales from our mind, to give us hearing ears, an understanding heart. Lord, to breathe on us so that the coldness of heart that so often infects us will be taken away. We pray, Lord, that the Spirit will open our ears, the ears of faith, to understand, and that we will receive blessing and encouragement from the Word. We know that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for us. So, Lord, bless us now this evening. Encourage us, I pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. In our study of these two chapters of Revelation 2 and 3, we have been meditating and thinking on the very precise and concise words that Jesus spoke to his churches. As he spoke these words, and we have now come down to the concluding sentences, as he is dealt with from Ephesus, now to Laodicea. And he said to the church in Laodicea that he was standing at the door and he was knocking. We thought of this last Lord's Day evening. We thought of that very gracious appeal that Jesus made to that erring, sinning church, and how the Lord comes to us in the time of our great need, and he comes to graciously approach, he condescends to speak to us in the time of our need. The problem that you and I often have is that we're not very conscious of the need. And so the Spirit, the Savior, who walks amidst the candlesticks, who is sitting in the seat beside you tonight, the Savior who knows intimately the needs of your heart and life, He is the one who comes, and at times he has to knock at the door of our heart. And he wants entrance to come in. And what does the Lord want to do when he comes into our hearts? He wants, get this, he wants fellowship with you and me. He wants to break bread with us. He wants to know the intimacy of fellowship with us that no one else could understand or know. Because you cannot look in the heart of another. I cannot look on your heart. But the Savior knows those motives. He knows the motions. He knows the things that no one else is aware of. And he knows that heart whereby someone else may judge you. Someone else may question what you're doing. Ah, but the Lord, he knows what drives us. He knows the thing that's coming from the inside. And as he makes that approach to us and that appeal, and he wants that fellowship, and he's asking us to open that door wide. So, when we do, what is the Lord? He's going to come in. He's not going to still stand on the outside. No, he wants to approach and come in. And how these illustrations, they're so vivid for us, aren't they? They're so real. A door knocking, what do? You answer the door. You don't leave someone standing outside. If you know them, if you want to have them, you invite them in. Of course you do. And that's exactly what Christ wants us to do. And he fellowships with his people. The very next verse is what we're thinking about tonight, verse 21, where the Jesus said this, "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne." I want tonight for you to think about those words. He that overcometh. To the one that is an overcomer, the Lord has this word to give to us tonight, a word of encouragement. And the first thing that is presented to us here in this statement that Jesus made is this. It is a word that has to do with the endurance of the Christian, the running of the race. Because you and I, saved by the grace of God, we are on a journey, a pilgrim journey. And so oftentimes in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit will use the imagery of games, the imagery of actively involved in running, or of boxing, or of some other Olympic event. And the reason why he does that is because you and I will be able to relate and to see very clearly, yes, we are running in a race, and it's not a sprint. It is the marathon. It is the long running every day. And sometimes the legs get weary and the shaking starts. And we begin to think, after having hit the wall, that we cannot go any farther. What does the Lord say to us tonight? He is saying, "No, my child, you must endure. You must press on. You must continue." And as Paul said, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." This is the appeal of the Lord. This is the encouragement that he gives to us tonight from his word. And it's the word endurance. Are you feeling a little bit weak or shaky tonight, Christian? Are you feeling a little bit worn down and nearly worn out? Do you feel like you've been run over by a steamroller? Well, the Lord will say to us tonight, "You're not finished your race. There is another lap. There is more in the journey. We must press on, and we must not give up." The Lord says here in this, "To him that overcometh. That is a very personal word that God gives. And of course, we know the generic word to him, it also refers to her. It refers not only to old saint on the road for many years, but it refers to young person, young lady, pressing on for the Lord. Don't give up. There is an endurance that must be run. And the Lord says to him, it's a very personal word. You may or may not have noticed that in every single church of the seven, the Lord used this same phrase as he was finalizing his comments to them, to him that overcometh. Now, we had a different word to say to each church, but there was this spirit, this heart behind what the Lord was encouraging his people to do. Don't give up. Don't surrender. Don't capitulate. There's yet a job to be done. You're not at the finish line yet. There is an enduring that must be done, a continuing on to him. Now, of course, we also know that the angels, the ministers that received the word from Christ, from the Spirit, they were given to the ministers in order to be conveyed to the people in those local churches of the seven. We've been thinking in our afternoon classes about the necessity, the importance of what it means to be connected with a local congregation, a fellowship. What it means to be an active member in the local church. And you can be certain that in Ephesus and Smyrna and Thyatira, in Philadelphia, in all of these places, there were people in those cities that were known by the elders and ministers of the local church. They were connected. They were known. They were associated with them. And so as the Lord presents the message, he is giving the message out to churches as a whole, as individual places. But yet we also know that as this message is contained within the Word of God, it has application to every body of believer in every century, in every decade of church history. And it comes right down to you and me tonight, which is why God's Word is so instructive to us. It helps us where we are right now. It gives us that word in season to encourage us, so you're not left out. To him, it's a personal message to us. And the reason why I believe the Lord did this was not just to say, oh, this is for all the churches, because every church is made up of individual people. Yes, we look at the congregation as one entity. Yes, we're part of this local place. But it comes down to this, my brother and sister. It is about you. It is about your walk with God. It is about my personal walk with God. Don't ever think for a moment that we can just kind of tag along with everybody else, because that's not how God judges. That's not how he observes and looks. He is looking at your heart individually, at my progress individually. He wants to know where you are with God right now. To him that overcomes. Oh, my friend, this is the word of endurance that Christ has given to us. It's a very personal word. My, it's also a persevering word. The word overcome is the Greek word nike. And here, it is in the sense of that which is ongoing. It means victorious, one who is going to conquer. And so we have here for us this person who's running in the marathon, and they're going to be victorious. They're going to be an overcomer. And Jesus is saying to you and to me tonight, press on, believer, my child. Do not capitulate. Don't give in. There is an overcoming that you and I will experience as we cross the finish line and are welcomed into God's presence. Is the journey been hard for you? Have you borne the burden and heat of the day? Do you feel that you're dehydrated spiritually and that you're nearly ready to collapse under the strain and stress of the campaign? Ah, friend, the Lord knows this. And He comes to offer you and me continually the refreshing water of the Word of God to satisfy us, to hydrate us, to keep us going for His glory, for His honor. There is a word that has to do with perseverance here, and it is the word to overcome. Because Christ knows that those who are called by Him, those who are saved by His grace, who have been washed in His own precious blood, are those who are going to persevere unto the end. My, it's one of the great doctrines that has come out of the Reformation time that was not invented there, but was simply brought from the Scripture. And it has to do with the perseverance of the saints. And it's a doctrine that states this, that those whom God has chosen, those whom Christ has saved, are those who will, without any shadow of a doubt, persevere until the finish line. And this is a work of God's grace, as much as it has been a work of God's grace to save us. It's a work of His grace to make us persevere to the end. And so when you're feeling a bit weary, and you're feeling worn out and tired, and you're feeling, Lord, I can't make it to the end. Ah, the Lord says, yes, you will, my child, make it to the end, because you will be an overcomer. And that's the promise that Jesus is saying here. One who is on that road of overcoming. And we will complete that race. We will persevere to the end. Is there, though, in this the responsibility of the individual? Can someone say, oh, that's a great promise from God. I love the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints. Now I'm just going to sit back in my hammock and enjoy life and enjoy the ride. Well, you'll soon wake up to realize that your hammock will be turned upside down and you'll be on the ground. It doesn't work that way. Because the Lord is saying to us, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. And sometimes people get themselves mixed up and tied up in a knot. Oh, does that mean that unless I, with my willpower and with my human energy, persevere to the end, I'll not be saved? Oh, my friend, how the Lord instructs us through His Word. And He combines His own sovereign purposes and man and human responsibility dovetailing together. And you might not know where your responsibility begins and ends completely. But you might not know where God's sovereignty begins and ends. But let me tell you, when you combine those two things together, we are to obey the Word of God. That's our responsibility. God has said it very clearly. And yet in the counsels of eternity, in the mind of God, He knows exactly what He's doing, and by His power He will accomplish that end. And you and I are in His work in hand. And Jesus said that when we're in the hand of His Heavenly Father, no man, no devil, no power in heaven or hell can pluck us out of His hand. We're secure and safe there. And so, believer, when Satan would bring that temptation to you, you're not going to make it to the end. You're going to capitulate. You're going to give up. You might as well throw in the towel now. No, don't believe that lie of the devil. But press on and persevere to the end, because Christ has given us this promise that we will go through with Him. There's something else we have here in this verse. Not only the endurance, but the exaltation that Jesus speaks about. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne. You may remember last Lord's Day evening that we highlighted in verse number 21, or 20 rather, the number of times that Jesus said, I will do this, I will do that. And the Savior is presenting His promise, His word. And when Christ gives His word, I ask you this, is it possible for God to lie? My dad reminded me of that when I was having great difficulty with the assurance of my salvation, and I didn't feel saved. And he brought me very wisely to the Scripture, but he said, is it possible, do you think, for God to lie? And I said, no, I didn't believe it was. Was it possible for Jesus to say something to you in a promise and then to go back on that word? No, it wasn't possible. And so when the Savior here makes a promise, as he did in John 6:37, and he said, him that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. I had come to Jesus as a young person. I had asked him to forgive me of my sin. I had prayed he would wash me in his own precious blood. And the promise that Christ gave depended on him to keep that word and not on me keeping it. You see, friend, it's not us grasping onto God's hand and hoping we can hold on with all our might, but it's the Lord who is the one who is holding on to us. And he will carry us safely through to the end. And all the while, he commands us to persevere and press on, my child. He commands us not to give in or to surrender. And he tells us there is coming a day of your exaltation. And he said to the one that overcomes, I will grant him to sit with me in my throne. Oh, let that truth just rest in your soul right now. That Jesus is saying this word to us because when he is talking about the exalting of his children, it's a place of honor that he is going to give to us. And that place of honor is in his very throne. Jesus is going to take this miserable sinner. Christ is going to take this rebel, this one who has rejected him, and yet now has been drawn by the cords of love and grace, and how he has saved me and washed me from my sin. And now he is saying to me, you, my child, will come to be exalted, and you will go to that place of honor in my throne. Now that phrase, in my throne, is a phrase that means wherever the Lord Jesus Christ has been exalted, that's where his people will be with him. So don't get too sidetracked in worrying, well, will there be enough room in the throne of Jesus? Does it mean we're going to be sitting with him in the chair? Now, don't get all knotted up in those kinds of things. The point making here is this, that in the place where the Lord Jesus has received exaltation from his Father, that is the place where he's going to bring his children to be with him. It's a place of honor, friend. You might not feel very honored tonight. You might feel like you're the off-scouring of the earth. You may not feel very victorious. You may not feel like you're much of an overcomer. Maybe you've disappointed the Lord recently. Maybe you have failed him in some way. Maybe the devil has brought some temptation to you and you feel, oh, I've fallen again, Lord. Oh, yes. And we have done that many times before. And I have bad news for you because we'll be doing it more times before we leave this earth. We'll be disappointing the Lord, for we sin in thought, word, and deed every day. Because we are very human. And we still have the old nature that's very much a part of us. And we will strive and continue on and press on. And David said, the righteous man, though he fall, he will not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him in his way. And that's our hope and our joy, that Christ is with us, he is for us, he is never going to leave us. And he promises, I will bring you home, I will bring you to my throne, and you will be honored there. Do you remember the words that God said in Samuel, them that honor me, I will honor? And Christian, tonight, if in your heart, though filled with weakness and frailty, if in your heart you have a desire and saying, Lord, you know my heart, you know that I love you, and you know that I want to honor you, the Lord reads the impulse and the heart of the child of God. And whom honoring to God, the Lord will one day exalt and honor you. Yes, this is a place of exaltation. It's a place of honor. But it's also a place of authority. Because as Christ will judge the worlds, he also has given power to his saints and his people to judge with him. And that's a place of authority. And remember all those in your lifetime as a Christian who have turned aside from you, who have maybe shunned you, who have maybe brought some form of persecution to you, and the enemies of the gospel, and those who are the devils who have done the satanic work in your lives. Remember, as Paul said, we are wrestling not against flesh and blood. Our warfare is not with guns and swords, but ours is a spiritual battle, and those spiritual powers will one day be judged by the people of God, by you. That's right. The authority that you will be exalted with by the very promise that Jesus has given. But not only is it a place of honor and authority, do you realize tonight it is a place of permanence, that you will never be taken away from the presence of Christ? You can never fall from glory. You can never lose that gift of salvation that God has given to you. The perseverance of the saints and the eternal security that you and I have is a great and mighty blessing from the Lord. And you say, well, how is it that I will never fall from heaven if before creation Satan fell from heaven? What makes me any different from him? Well, let me tell you the reason why. Because the righteousness of Jesus Christ has been merited by him and given to you. And you're not in heaven today, or you will not be, because of your own righteousness, but it's only because of what Christ has imputed to us. And therefore, my hope for eternity, his blood has been shed, that atonement has been made, and it will never be rescinded. It is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, friend, you have a place of eternal permanence in the presence of your Savior and your God. And one final thing we have here in this text tonight for us. There is this great example, the endurance, the exaltation, and the example that we have. For Jesus said these words, even as I also overcame. Even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Do you remember when Mary brought the alabaster box into the house and she broke it open and anointed the Lord? And those all around her were very disgusted, and especially Judas Iscariot, because of the waste, he thought. But Jesus rebuked them all and said, let her alone. She has anointed my body for the burying. In other words, whatever she expended upon the cross work that I was coming to have come to do, she will not lose her reward. She will be exalted. And the example that Jesus is given here is that God the Father has honored the Son. And every single one that honors Christ equally honors the Father. And you will not lose, my friend, your reward. There is this mighty example that Jesus has given to us, even as I also overcame. And how did Jesus overcome? He overcame and defeated Satan at the cross, where, yes, the heel of Christ was bruised. It was bruised as he hung on the cross there and bled and died. But as he rose victoriously from the grave, the head of Satan was fatally wounded, and he was defeated. And yes, one day very soon, Satan shall be cast into the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone forever and ever, and all of his demons and angels that are with him. And every Christ rejecter, and those whom God has given to a reprobate mind, and those that have sinned against the Spirit of God, they will all be cast into a lost eternity. But my friend, it's because Christ Jesus has overcome himself that you and I are able to tap into his overcoming power. And so that tonight, by his example, the example that he gives to us, what does it do for you and I tonight? What's the practical side of this? It gives you and I tonight a purpose for living. It gives us a reason why we're here. We are not just existing. We're not just putting in time until we come to the grave. Oh, God forbid us to think like that for a moment. If you are saved by the grace of God tonight, the sovereign God has an eternal purpose for your life to fulfill. Don't think that you're just here for a number of years and then you will die and move on. God has you here for a purpose. And when we understand that Jesus has been exalted, and as he is overcome, he has given to us that sense of purpose in this life. Why I'm here? I'm here to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. And oh, friend, he gives us hope in the day and the time of our death. He gives us hope and the anticipation, the certainty that all is well for us. As Wesley said, our people die well. They do because we die in hope. We die with the joy of knowing that we're going to see our Savior's face. And if you know the story of Fanny Crosby, who was blind shortly after her birth, and yet wrote over 8,000 hymns. And we have many of these precious poems put to music in our hymn book. And someone asked her once, do you not wish that you would have your human eyesight now? And she said, no, I don't want that now. Because she says, the first person I want to be able to see is my Savior when I get to heaven. Yes, friend. There is great hope for us in a life in a world that is churning and boiling, and it almost seems spinning out of control. Yet our Lord is in control, and he holds our hand and our spirit in his very grip. So do not fret, my friend. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, we read this morning. No, but trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And rejoice that tonight you are an overcomer as you are standing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow in prayer. As our heads are bowed tonight, and we're still, and every believer's praying, my message tonight has been to those who are truly Christians. Maybe tonight, friend, you've not settled that matter in your own heart. You don't know. Well, I pray, and I hope that tonight the Lord's Spirit will speak to your heart. Friend, you do not want to be separated from God into a lost eternity. You don't want to go out into a death not being assured that your sins have been washed by the precious blood of Christ. If you have any question or you want to speak to us at the end, do so. We'll pray with you and for you, that you can know right where you are today that you're saved by the Lord's grace. Father, work, we pray, in every heart tonight. Take again the word that is only spoken with human lips, the unsearchable riches of Christ Jesus. And help us, Lord, we pray, to persevere and press on, and not to be discouraged or set aside by all the many issues that come against a believer. I pray, Lord, that even now you would strive in the hearts of any unsaved and bring them to the Savior. Bless our time of fellowship tonight downstairs. Receive our thanks for the food that has been provided. And Lord, just watch over us and bless our fellowship. Part us now in thy fear with thy rich blessing. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.